Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I am your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, glad to be here.
Hey, me too. We are on episode 161, and this is our series, Asking the Wrong Questions, which is number 7.
Yeah, number 7. Wild. We got this one, and we got one more.
Yeah, one more.
So there'll be 8 total in the series, and if you're new to listening, you can go back and check them all out, especially episode 1 where we set up the premise a little bit more. But the idea is that most of the time I've found that we are asking the wrong questions. And so instead of sitting around trying to answer that question that I believe is the wrong question, we kind of just need to change it, and we need to ask a different question. Because if you're, you know, like Valerie and I found ourselves sitting in this conference where this guy was talking about church and church growth and stuff, and he was like, we're asking the wrong questions. And he was talking about, it was in reference to like attendance and things like that. And so it was like, how do you know if the church is being effective? And so it was ended up being, well, we're asking the wrong questions to determine that. And I was like, man, that is exactly true. I felt that over the last several years, you know, like just in general, this has nothing to do with this. It's just kind of where the thought came from. I thought in general over the last multiple years that, you know, judging the church's effectiveness by how much attendance there is and how much the offering is and all those things that are they're easier to measure. That's not really the right question we should be asking. Right. And so the thought was, is maybe we need to change the question. And when we were listening to this, we were in Florida. We were listening to it. I was like, yeah, that, you know, we do that with a lot of things where we end up asking the wrong question. And we just need to change that question up. And that would take us in a different direction that would be more effective.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what we've been doing in the series is, you know, like we did one recently. I don't know if it was the last one or if it was one before was, you know, like, does God really love me? Well, that's, I mean, you can think on that for a minute, but we still don't get stuck there. Because does God really love me? We probably need to change the question. Because the answer to that is, well, absolutely he does. The real question would then be, well, do you love him? Right? Do I love God? That would be the way you change it. So that's what we're doing in the series. We're taking common questions that we tend to ask, and then instead of wasting a lot of time answering those, we're deciding, you know what, that's probably the wrong question. Let's change it. So today we're going to tackle, Steph, tell them which one we're going to tackle today.
Today, we are tackling, do they care about me?
Do they care about me? You know, we've all asked this, and you can say that in different ways, right? Do they care about me? Do they even see me? You know, do they care about me the way I care about them? You know, there's all kinds of ways to look at this, right? Does this particular group give a crap about me? You know, does my workplace people, do they even care, right? Am I just a number? Am I just a employee, or do they really care? You know, have you ever been in a situation where it's like a business or a club or a function, a school, sometimes a church, where it's like, we love you and we care about you and we're family here, right? And then you pause, you know what I'm talking about?
The family comment.
And then you pull back and you go, I don't know if I believe this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's true. The family thing, really, a lot. Like, we're family here.
It's like, I must be the rejected cousin because I don't feel that way.
Red-headed stepchild. All my red-headed people, sorry, but you know that's a good joke. You know, anyway, everybody thinks this before. And so we've all been in situations where we wonder if people care about us, or we've been in situations where we feel uncared for. Everybody has been in this situation, and you've probably been in a bunch of them. Anyway, no matter what age group you're in, this has happened before, right? Like, you've had moments when you were a kid where you felt like this happened, right? Where you're like, you know, I don't know if these people really care about me, or, you know, whatever it may be. And so we've all had these situations. So Steph and I, we're going to talk through some examples of ones where we've had, where we've probably put too much attention on the question, do these people care about me? Like, for example, my temptation as a pastor is to think a lot about or wonder if people care about me or if they're just using me for what they can get from me, right? Like they, you know, they need somebody to confide in, or they need somebody to care for them, or they need, you know, they got this crisis going on, or so it feels like and not everybody, I don't mean this ugly, but it feels like they use you for those things and then put you on the shelf until they need to use you again. You know what I mean? That's the temptation.
Yeah.
I
can only imagine how you feel as a pastor. I can only imagine.
Well, I ain't trying to be ugly, but I'm not trying to be like the martyr or anything like that.
You're not.
At all. I'm just being honest about my
situation. That is valid,
right?
Yeah.
So what it feels like is nobody calls me for something good, right? Like, they only call me for something bad. Now, that's not entirely true, right, at all. But most of the time, if you are calling your pastor, setting up a meeting with your pastor, it's not good. Does that make sense?
There's something that
needs
help.
Some struggle, some issue, some worry, some doubt, temptation, question. Something's blown up in the family. Something's coming on the horizon. Somebody's dead. Somebody's hurt. You know what I mean? Now, every now and then, that's not the case. You know, like, sometimes it's, hey, we love each other and we're getting married. But even with that, this sounds so bad. Even with that, it's, I need you to do this for me. This was so refreshing. Recently, one of the people on our teaching team, who's primarily at our Caswell campus, is getting married. And I happened to be there teaching on a Sunday, right? I don't know, months and months and months ago, near the beginning of the year. And I'm very happy for them. I'm very excited for them. I think it's a godsend all around. And the lady comes up, the woman that's marrying him, and she says, hey, Pastor Adam, we want to, you know, we're getting married on such and such date. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, hey, look. And she was just so genuine with it. She said, hey, look, the date is such and such. We don't want you to marry us. Pastor Matt's marrying us. We just want you to attend.
Nice.
It was so refreshing. I was like,
wow,
thank you. And I'm not saying this in an ugly way. I'm very blessed and honored to be a part of people's lives in these horrible, heartbreaking moments. What I'm saying is, though, is that the majority of time it feels like we need something from you or there's something bad going on. You know what I mean? And so you end up naturally pulling back and going, do these people really care about me personally, or is it just because they need something from me?
Yeah, would they just include you, though, on like a regular day? Right. I can only imagine.
That's the temptation.
It's easy to think that.
That's not always a case, but that's just one of those examples. I'll give you another example, and then I'm going to make Steph do one or two or three, however many she does. My children have had times in their life where they feel used by someone, right? And they're like, did this person really care for me, or were they just using me? Like Olivia, for example, you know, she had some kids who weren't nice to her, then all of a sudden are nice to her because they want her homework. They want her test questions. They want her study guide. Mm-hmm. They want her notes, right? And then afterwards, they're not nice to her again. And so it's like, well, did they care about me at all, or were they just using me to get this information? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you have to break it to your child and go, yes, that's exactly what they were doing, right? You know, it's just easy to do that. So we've all had these examples. Steph, give me an example for you of time where, you know, you've wondered if people truly care about you.
Well, when you were saying that, that actually made me think of something else. Like growing up as well, like when you have something that someone wants, like if you're on a sports team or if you're cool with certain people that they want to be friends with, people will get to know you and you're thinking, oh, this person's gonna be my forever friend,
right?
And then they just social climb. They just use you as a step and they step on your head and go up to the next, even though we're all on equal playing field.
Sure
Yeah, I have felt that before.
It's like that. You reminded me of one, like where somebody gets close to a person because they want to date their brother or sister.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like where it's like, hey, I'm going to hang out and become friends with you because your brother's hot and I want to date your brother.
Yeah.
Right? Or vice versa, right?
I feel like everyone's been in that position.
Vice versa, right? I mean, everybody's probably done something like that.
Yeah.
You got any more? Got anything else?
The other thing was most recently, y'all probably are tired of hearing me say I got married last year, but this is just an example. I got married and I was thinking, oh, I am entering this new season. I have these other friends that are near my age. They're married and some have kids. And I'm like, oh, they're going to be there. I felt like once I got married, they just disappeared. Mm. A couple of people, key people. And I was just like, wow, I really wanted to share this with you. And I really want to be able to like talk to you about this season. And it just felt like I was dropped.
Grow from you.
Yeah. Right? But I was there for them with their different things, showing up to their kids' stuff or doing stuff like that. And then I just got dropped out of the blue.
So it feels
like. It made me feel uncared for.
Which then makes you question.
Yeah.
Do they care about me at all? Were they just using me before?
Yeah.
Did they care about me then? They just don't nail. Did something happen? You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many ways. And I think this is a common human thing, which is, I think, is why we ask this question all the time. I think it's why we sit around in our own insecurity and we go, do these people really care about me? It's just so easy to do for all of us all the time. You know what I mean? It's so easy to be asking this question. And I really do think that this is a question we should probably put to bed. I don't mean that you should just ignore whether or not people truly care for you or not. I don't mean that, you know. But I do think as Christians, we need to flip this question around.
I agree.
As Christ followers, we have got to fight against the temptation of consistently making things about our own selves.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
And that's part of the call of being a Christian.
Drives you crazy, right? Too, yeah.
If the rest of the world who's not Christians want to make it about themselves, well, that makes sense. They probably ought to. Mm-hmm. Right? But Christ is our Lord, and so therefore, by his example, we don't want to make it about ourselves. So we need to change this question around. So instead of asking ourselves all the time, do these people really care about me? And I'm preaching to myself right here while I say this, right? Instead of asking that all the time, what I need to flip it around and go is, well, do I actually care about other people?
Right? Yeah,
Do I care about them? Do I care about others? Instead of, do people care about me? Do I care about other people? That's the way I process through this. It's consistently all the time.
It comes back, yeah.
Yeah, it's consistently all the time. Like when I'm saying all that stuff about pastoring, when stuff comes up, like when I walk out of one thing and the next thing I know I got this person who sent me a message about this thing going on and I'm like, oh my God, I can't take no more crisis this week. I have to pause and go, why am I doing this? Why am I in this role? Why am I doing this job? Why is this what God's called me to? Do I really care about other people, right? Pastor equals shepherd. Do I really care about God's sheep? Yes or no? And so I'll have to go, well, yes, I believe I do care about people. And every time I flip that around, it becomes better. And so if you'll notice that this question right off the bat is very self-centered. Do they care about me?
Right? It is self-centered, right? Yeah. Right?
It's very self-centered. And notice that if you notice that in this series, if you go back and listen to all the ones we've done, like this is number 7, there's 6 more before it. We got one more happening. If you'll notice that in this series, all of these tend to be self-focused.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them.
You're right.
Does God love me? Right? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do in mm-hmm. this situation? You know what I mean? Why doesn't God do something about our problem, our issue, our world? Right? It just, mm-hmm. They're all very self-centered. And part of growing up in faith, part of growing in our faith in Jesus, part of getting further along the messy walk that we all walk, and in an increasing, growing, enduring faith, is realizing that we're not at the center. More and more and more. And that's not one thing that you learn one day and then you got it and you move on, right? That's not the way that works. Like, you don't learn one day. You know, there's certain things in the faith that you learn one day and you move to the next thing, right? And it's sort of like a foundational piece. There's some things like that. But learning that we aren't the center of things is something we relearn over and over and over and over and over again, right?
It's true.
Because we turn things back into being about ourselves every chance we get. And so that's why this question has to be changed, is because it is so self-focused that it just sort of goes against what it means to follow Jesus. And it's a very baby Christian kind of thing to do. To sit around and say, you know, do they care about me? Do they love me? Right? Am I seen? Am I heard? I'm not saying you shouldn't think on those things. I'm just saying that that can't be the basis of all of it because it's just so self-centered. That's why it's got to change. And so as Christians, the question is not, do people care about me? It's got to be, do I care for others? Right? That's got to be the question.
Because that's the main thing you can do. Like, you can do, like, let me reword that.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying.
You can do something for yourself. Like, you're the one that can change that. You can't change it about other people.
You cannot. There's no there's something you can do, mm-hmm. right? You can't do nothing about what other people are doing.
Right.
You can't do anything about it at all. And it'll drive you crazy if you obsess over
it. Will. Oh, my gosh. Right?
If you obsess over things that you can't do anything about, it'll drive you nuts.
Yes.
Right. But if you redirect that to stuff that you can do something about, now you can make progress and you can feel empowered and you can feel like, okay, something's happening here. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And all that is the act of, it's not about me. It's about God. Right? That's
yeah,
all that is.
Truly.
That's all that is the act of that. And so if we start thinking, if we get out of the whole selfish mindset and start going, no, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about other people. Then we're empowered to actually do something about it. And so, you know, Jesus gives us, I mean, everything about Christ symbolizes this, that God is the center and that there's an unselfish pursuit in godliness and humility. And then there is a selfish pursuit in pride, right?
Yeah.
That puts us at the center, not God at the center. And so when Jesus gives the great commandment, if you know the great commandment scripture, pops up a couple places in the Gospels. It's the basis of the mission of our church, of Union Church. Our whole mission is centered around it. And what happens in that scripture is that Jesus is sort of cornered by the Pharisees trying to get him to pick a commandment out of the 10
that's
the greatest one. Because they're trying to put him in a corner so they can get him, you know, they're basically saying to him, hey, pick one, which one of these is the most important? Right? Because when he picks whichever one he picks is the most important,
they're not gonna
then all of a sudden it's like he's disregarding all the rest, blasphemy, right? And if he refuses to pick one that's the most important, they can do the exact same thing. And so what Jesus does is flips this thing all on his head. He goes all the way back to the Shema and quotes the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. And he says, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Right? Greatest thing. Everything's centered on that, based on that. That's the center of all things. In other words, God is the center of everything, and you love him with everything you have. And then he says, and he throws it on his head by saying, the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The way we say that at church, and not just us, multiple churches, the way we paraphrase the great commandment is love God, love others. Love God, love people, right? Mm-hmm. But when Jesus says the second one is like it, he's saying that they go together. You can't separate them. So you love God, and because you love God, you then therefore love other people as yourself, right?
Yeah.
As yourself, which means it's replacing you being at the center of things, and now it's God and other people are at the center of things, right? I mean, that's what he's saying right off the bat. And another great piece of scripture for us of how we would need to change this mindset, right, of do I love other people instead, is Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Stephanie, will you read that, Philippians 2, 1 through 5?
Yes. Let me get this right here. Okay.
Now, I want you to listen to what Paul's saying is here, and I want you to feel it's like an impassioned plea to Christians. It's like, come on, please. And the way he starts it, if you got any encouragement, like if you've been paying attention at all, is basically what he's saying, right? If you've gotten anything from following Jesus, and then he starts to push towards this idea of loving and caring for others. Read it, Steph.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus.
So in your relationships with other people, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He goes on to tell you what Christ Jesus' mindset is, which is basically, he is the servant of all people, right? But you'll notice that when he says, in your relationships, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, all you got to do is go up to verse 3 and you get the mindset of Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit means nothing with you as the main goal and center of it. Do nothing. And so sitting around asking the question of, do these people care about me? Do they care about me? Sounds like vain conceit. Sounds a little bit like selfish ambition, right? And we're not supposed to do any of that. Instead, what we're doing is, in humility, we're valuing others above ourselves, which is goes back to what Jesus said do in the Great Commandment. Love God with all that you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, we're going to value other people more than us. And that's what Jesus does for us, right? As Christians, we do understand that we follow a God who put himself below us, right? I mean, he put himself below us. And we're supposed to be becoming like Jesus. So we would be becoming people who are more concerned about, am I somebody who cares for other people deeply? Instead of less concerned with, do they care for me, right? Jesus, in the way that he walks out his life, is much more concerned with, I'm going to show and share with the world, with every single one of these people, how much I love them and care for them and have compassion for them, right? Not, I'm going to sit around and wonder all the time and base everything on whether they love me or not, right? Because if Jesus did that, then he's not taking the cross. If he's going, you know what? I don't know if these people love me. He's not taking the cross. But instead, he's pushing out this mindset of valuing us above himself. That's the whole point.
That's right? A good way to put that.
The whole point.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that's what we're supposed to be doing instead, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. If you and I and everybody listening would try this week, every single time we're about to do anything, right? This is really hard to do because there's thoughts, there's mindless actions that we do, there's intentional actions. It's easier to do this with intentional actions, but there's mindless things that we do all the time. But if we could filter this thing through, wait a minute, is what I'm about to do, is what I'm about to say, is what I'm about to think, is it selfish ambition or vain conceit, right? Like when I go home and what I want to do is I want to sit on that couch and then I want to go, honey, did you cook dinner? Right? Would you cook dinner? Can you cook dinner? That's selfish ambition. That's vain conceit. Right? That's me wanting to sit down and let her do the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? We're not supposed to do anything like that. And so if we could just kind of put through the filter of, wait a minute, it's not whether or not people care for me and it's not what I want, what I need, or me at the center of it. Instead, it's how do I care for other people? Then we are becoming more like Christ. That's the whole point here. And that's where, as Christians, we're supposed to be doing, right? As Christians, that's what we're supposed to be becoming. And what's really interesting to me about this is, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and we'll wrap up. If we focus on the fact that others don't care about us, if we sit around and think about it all the time, we wonder if they do, if we focus on ourselves, that's all we're going to see. All we're ever going to see, if you sit around thinking, do people really care about me, and you're wondering it all the time, all you will see is that people don't care about you.
It's true.
Right?
It's true.
You find what you're looking for. See what you are pursuing, right? If you want to, like a great example of this is, if you want to see evil in this world, you'll have no problem seeing it.
You can find it.
It's everywhere, right? If you want to see bad news, you can see bad news. It's everywhere. If you want to see good news, you can see good news too, because it's everywhere as well. If you want to see the hand of the enemy in this world, you can see it. It's everywhere. But if you want to see the hand of God in this world, you can see it too, because it's everywhere, right? You see what you look for. Does that make any sense? You know
yes.
what I mean? My daddy taught me this when I was a kid, because my daddy is a hunter extraordinaire. Right, he's the goat when it comes to hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, my family, the running joke in my family is that animals come up to my dad and lay down and die and say, take me home, right? Deer and all kinds of stuff. They just come up and he's going to lay down, right? My dad taught me this when I was young, right? When I was young and I was hunting with him, I'd be in the same tree stand with him. He would be like, you see what you're looking for, you know? And so I would be looking at certain things and going, oh, is that a deer? And he's like, no, that's a tree limb. But it looks like a deer, Dad. Wait till the sun comes up some more and you'll see that it's a tree, right? And I'm like, oh, it's a tree. And he was like, you see what you're looking for. Look for the deer and you will see the deer. They're there. You don't even realize they're there most of the time, right? And it was true. The more you looked for what you were looking for, you actually saw it. You know what I mean? It's the same concept here. So this is what's really interesting to me about this. If you focus on the fact that other people don't care about you, if you make it about yourself and you just fixate on that, that's what you're going to feel and see over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
But if you focus on caring for other people, if you are constantly going around going, nope, I care for people. I'm going to see them deeply. Mm-hmm. I'm going to care for them deeply. I'm going to have compassion on them more than just empathy. I'm going to have compassion on them. As you have compassion, as you see people deeply, you will realize that they actually do care for you too, and you'll see it. The more you care about them and make it not about you, the more you'll see their humanity. You'll see the fact that they struggle too, but that in their own little ways, they do kind of care about you as well. Now, you won't see that about everybody. Not everybody cares about you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's some people who you're not a thought to them. Then there's some people who don't like you. Right. So, and they consciously decide not to care about you. Then there are some people who are not Christians and they are naturally self-focused because God has not awakened their heart. And so their life is centered around them. Mm-hmm. And so they don't really care about you. Then there are some Christians, not non-Christians, Christians who are walking in a very immature, childish faith that has them at the center of things. And they're not paying attention to you in your needs and caring for people deeply. And they don't care about you. But I'm telling you, if you will make other people the focus, what you will see is that that a lot of these people do actually care about you. And you'll see people that really do care. Isn't it funny how if you focus on the fact that people don't care, you'll see that people don't care. Mm-hmm. But if you focus on the fact that you care for others and you try to love and care for them, you'll see how many people actually care about you too.
Yeah, you viewed things, you know what I mean? Differently.
You'll see that they care about you too.
It's like finding the gold, yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll be reminded of the people that really care for you too. Like when you are trying to care for other people in that way, you'll be reminded of the people in your life that do that same thing that you're trying to do for somebody else. You know what I mean? Like nothing has given me a greater when you walk with people through something. Which I tend to do all the time. I was complaining about it earlier, but now I'm not complaining about it. when you walk with people through something, what it causes me to do is it causes me to remember the people in my life who walked with me through something similar, right? Mm-hmm. Or the people in my life who were there no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That really do love and care. You know what I mean? Even in the face of being... Even with being faced with somebody who doesn't care for you, if you're focused on being a caring and loving person, it'll remind you of the people in your life that do care about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So, you know, like when I walk with a couple through a marriage issue that they have going on that happens to be the same marriage issue that me and Valerie had going on, because by the way, the vast majority of marriage issues all couples encounter at some point in time, right? Mm-hmm. Almost all of them. I mean, we forget as humans that we're all humans.
Yeah.
And that most of the struggles that we walk through, we all walk through, right? There's not that many struggles that are unique to a person. The vast majority of them we all have. When I walk with a couple who's going through something that me and Valerie went through, which by the way, usually is all the time, it reminds me of the people that helped us during those moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was talking with somebody the other day who had a miscarriage. And Valerie and I had several. And it made me remember a couple of people who stepped up and cared for us in those moments in a way that I didn't even think was possible. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Deeply cared for us. You know what I mean? And that those relationships, they don't even exist anymore, right? But in those moments, we were truly cared for. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just interesting to me how this works. You see what you look for. You find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And if you will push towards, let me try to care for other people deeply, you will see that there are plenty of people God has placed in your life that do care about you. Some in the past that aren't in relationship with you anymore. Some who are still in relationship with you. And then you'll begin to also see the people that he's bringing in your life now that are new but seem to care for you. You know what I mean? Opens your eyes up to those things, right? So the whole idea here is when we are asking questions that are inherently self-focused as Christians, we need to change the question up. We need to flip the question around. And this is one of those. Do these people really care about me? Let's set that aside. Do we deeply care about other people? Right?
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
I'm grateful for this reminder.
Yeah, this was a good one. This went better than I thought it was going to.
Except for that one little technical thing.
Whatever happened a few minutes in, I don't know what that was, but it seems to have gone away now. So anyway, yeah. And Steph, tell them about, so we've got one more episode of this series, changing the question or asking the wrong question. And then we're going to start a new series, which we're pretty excited about. Tell them what it is.
It's going to be bullying.
Bullying. And we're going to talk adult bullying, which, by the way, bullying is bullying. It's actually the same. What happens with children and bullying and what happens with adults and bullying is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk through it. And what it'll be really cool, too, because we're going to talk about it through the perspective of the characters that are in a bullying situation. So we're going to talk about it in terms of each character that's in a bullying situation. Does that make sense?
So, yes, it does. Different environments.
Yeah, so the bully itself, right? Mm-hmm. Why is that person bullying? What about them? The people that are watching and not doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. The victim themselves, right? We'll talk through all those perspectives. So it'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks.
Talk to you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.